And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 170.
170?
170. Welcome to Seattle's longest-running comedy podcast. Probably.
Probably.
I am one of your hosts, Silas Lindenstein.
I'm another one of your hosts, Samantha Run.
And today, returning to the show, back from episode number 2, believe it or not. Yeah. Erica Klemecki, author. Photographer. I was going to say photojournalist, maybe. I don't know. That sounds
that works.
Ooh. Fancy. She's returned to talk about her new book, her sophomore book, I believe that's what they call it. She was on here the first time promoting her first book. It's back here again promoting her second book. So I love that. Yeah. It's again a story of Nepal, and today we talked to her about her, I don't know, I'm not going to use the word obsession, but her infatuation with the country, and why she loves it so much, and we hear some stories about it, and yeah, hear a lot about that. We hear I tell a tale of misunderstanding. In a
another
supermarket.
Grocery store adventure.
Another grocery store adventure. Big news, though, that may affect this program dramatically. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
I have been invited to, and I've accepted to join the Seattle Film Critics Society.
Woo-hoo!
So,
yay!
Yeah. So now I am officially a film critic.
Very
officially,
exciting.
Yeah. And how it affects this potentially is I will say, actually, I mean, between Samantha and I, we do have a lot of connections out there, right?
Yeah.
But as a film critic, besides advanced screening opportunities for films, because I'm a member of this society now, a lot more people are going to be apt to answer my phone calls. They're more apt to do interviews, like these directors and actors that are up and coming, especially, and I'll have access to a lot of more people than we've had before. So I think we're going to get some pretty awesome interviews coming up, like before a movie hits, which is kind of cool.
That is cool.
You know, that's like one of the big dogs. Like, you listen to like the Nerdist or something, or art, whatever, idiot. What do they call it now? ID10T. Like they were talking about, oh, so and so's new film is coming out, and they talk about it like they've seen it, but nobody else. You know, that'll be us. We're talking about films that we've already seen. Because, yeah, I'm dragging Samantha with me on this.
That's great, because I was actually just thinking, I haven't talked to you about this yet off the air, so I was like, am I just going to guess? I'll make, like, I'll still do callbacks. It's cool.
What?
We'll figure it out.
No, because, well, I usually get a plus one, or sometimes we can
That's
get
great.
Together, because sometimes, yeah. Sometimes they don't have screenings, so you get screeners. Or
perfect
web access. We'd have to be together in a room somehow to watch them. But I think if we were going to interview somebody, that'd be worth it.
Oh yeah.
Check out a film and then interview the person. I don't know. So big news. So hopefully that's going to be, and maybe get some exclusive for our Patreon subscribers.
That's
some exclusive
right.
members. That would be awesome. So like, yeah, you're listening to this and you're probably like, gosh, I wish Silas had and Samantha had a Patreon page. We're like, well, we do. Yeah, you just go to patreon.com/blackandahalf, and for as little as $1 a month, you could become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners. Or for just a little bit more, a few more dollars a month, and you could become an Inner Circle member like Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel, Tara Widener. Become one of them. Just a few dollars a month. And hopefully exclusive content coming to them too. It's one way to support us. Another way to support us, of course, go to that Apple Podcast page, hit that 5-star rating, leave a review. I know some of you are listening and haven't done it because I see numbers. I see the numbers. Should be more. So go ahead and do that right now. And of course, also you can support the show by supporting our other projects and our other shows. You could come to Decibel Brewing on August 21st, assuming this airs before then. I think it does, but you can come to there and watch me do stand-up comedy, making my return debut.
That's right. Closing out the show too, right?
And I'll be closing it out. I was going to go open mic and practice some stuff, but hey, some major, I won't say it on the air, but some major comedians in the area got COVID. So I'm not going to any mics now until that's done. So
that's
I will be like, hey, this is going to be some fresh material up there. Some old, some new. It's been like I'm getting married, right? Something old, something new, something blue. Or whatever.
Black, something blue.
Yeah. You can go to that.
Oh, no, or something black, something blue. Oh, yeah.
You can listen to my other podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Sinnenstein, where I educate and empower home buyers all across the nation on how to buy a home and connect them with real estate agents in their local area. That's at yourbuyingahome.com. Or you can listen to this other super awesome podcast done by Samantha Rund.
Thanks, Silas. That's Beyond Technique with me, like you said, Samantha Rund. And I do have on other guests as well, other creatives. And we do talk about the creative process, how it enriches our lives. And you can listen to that wherever you listen to your podcast, or also if you prefer watching on YouTube, you can listen, watch on YouTube as well. And then if you're looking for a coach to help you communicate more fully using that voice, body, mind connection, if you're going to use that for public speaking, interview preparation, of course, if you're an actor or comedian, I'm more than happy to help you with that. You can reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com.
Okay. So that is those podcasts.
Yep.
But this is this one. So I want you, the listener, to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 170. The return of Erica Klimacki.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
You know, I told Erica, I was like, oh, I'm there's going to be something I'm going to want to talk about, I'm sure. But I never know. Like, what? I'm like, could there be something ever not happened to me? I don't know. You read this earlier, Samantha. I know.
Oh, that. You know what? I was going to write podcasts. And yeah. I was like, no.
I want to talk. I want to bring this up. I just told Gretchen about it because Gretchen just walked in the door right before I went there. And I'm like, so this is what happened today, Erica.
Yeah.
I went to the store to get food because tonight was the night out, a national night out. So for neighborhoods. So you do like, and so I was making a pot of gumbo, right? So I had to go get food. And fruit for sangria. So we're there in the produce section, and this old woman in front of me starts talking to my kids, which I'm just I watch a little bit now because, you know, a couple weeks ago one took a swing at my kid. So I'm like, well, and she's like, oh, you two are really well behaved. And then says, oh, you have such bright eyes, bright brown eyes, and the hair's so great. And she looks at me and she's like, so what country are you from?
Oh, man.
And I boiled inside and I said, America. You know, I'm wearing a mask. Oh. I'm wearing a mask. And I am so, I don't know whether I was more mad at that moment or 10 seconds later when I realized I should have said, what country are you from? Like then yeah. I was like, oh, why didn't I? Oh, and I couldn't go back. I was like, oh, it's just slightly too long. Cause then I'm like, the comedy timing of it just won't be, and I'll be mad about that. So
what was the look on her face or what was her response to you?
Oh, just, oh, then she's like, oh, well, oh, I have like a granddaughter has really bright brown hair and my son-in-law, I think she said son-in-law, I was raging, or some sort of extra relative is like, oh, he's Indian. I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking American. How about that? I'm like, so like, I was like, this is the first, you know, it's not the first time I've been asked. Normally though, it's from people from other countries that have asked me and I'm not offended because they think that I'm one of them and they're trying to find out like, oh, are you Arabic? Are you right. Like, or they make a distinct guess. But it's been a long time since an old white lady asked me if where I was born.
It's very different if people are trying to make you one of them or trying to make you other.
Yes.
Unless if the one of them are like, yeah,
I definitely felt othered. Like, based off of my math, I hadn't even spoken. So it wasn't out of an accent, right? Or a weird, like, maybe if I talked
funny.
Were
you wearing your ask me where I'm from mask?
No, I wasn't wearing that.
Oh, okay. That's
I was
good,
wearing my
good,
Sonic the Hedgehog mask. It's just such a, and I don't even, like, part of me, then I'm like, it's an aggression. I don't know. Why does it make me so mad to be asked that? Why is it insulting? I was like, she doesn't get that that's insulting. And some people, I know that there's people that don't get that that is insulting. And then I was like, is it insulting? Am I being too sensitive? And then I was told my wife, I'm like, I just feel othered. That's what it is. Like, I feel like it's kind of saying you don't seem like you belong here or something.
You're the most exotic person she's ever run into.
Wow, Silas. Like, you know, it's, I think too, it's also the, like, the way that it wears you down after, like when people used to ask me, you know, like what I'm mixed with or whatever, you're multi, what are you mixed with? I used to love telling people that. I'm proud, you know?
Yeah.
But after the millionth time somebody's asked me, I'm like, shut the F up. Like, do I, like, what are you mixed with? You know, what are you 100% whatever? Like, I don't think so. You know, it's just,
and it's annoying. And last week, I think I told you something. Like, I was like, I don't think I'm going to talk about race in my stand-up routine. I'm gonna cut that out. And it's like, oh, I was like, oh, maybe I'm making it too much of a deal for me and I need to focus on other things about my life. And then I'm like, then these things come up, like these little things, little micro aggressions. And it just makes me, oh.
Well, isn't that the thing that you like have to talk about? I was doing this like comedy writing class a while ago and a few of us were minorities and some of us weren't, which is a little bit funny to say minorities when you're like the majority of the class, but at any rate, or the world, but at any rate, like, the ones of us that were minorities in our comedy pieces, we all had topics that were kind of like relating to that somewhat, because it was supposed to be like something related to a pet peeve of yours or something that happened that was annoying recently or blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And each one of us just so happened to have that. And the people in the class that weren't, they got to have delightful little rants that were just like little whimsical things like this and that. And it was, one of them actually commented on it, you know, and it's just one of those things that's just telling, it's like, it's not like you want to talk about it. It's just like shit keeps happening to you. So then you have to talk about it.
But like Hannibal Buress doesn't, right? For the most part, he doesn't really talk about it. Like, well, there's people that have seemed to have made a point to not. Or
okay. Yes. You
right?
don't have to talk about it.
I feel compelled to. I don't know why.
Well, you have to talk about it. You, Silas. Yeah.
Yeah. What's wrong with me? I want to just talk about pickles.
Pickle
juice. Hannibal Buress has a great pickle juice story.
Oh, yeah. Right. The pickle juice.
I feel like I got other things. There's not. I do feel like there's other things about me. They just don't seem. I always feel like, you know, when I'm up on stage for some reason, I feel like I should be talking about something important. Oh, I need to speak truth to power and speak. I need to say something important. Then I do some stupid stuff about like Star Wars, and I don't know why that. But then
you love Star Wars.
then I'm like, I don't know why. Like, did I see the, yeah, it's true. I do see some Caucasian members of our community that get to just talk about ice cream and Netflix and the cool stuff. Like, you know, they don't talk about, and then sometimes they'll make a joke about that.
Is there like an ice cream subscription for Netflix of a Netflix and chill, but you get like a different ice cream flavor to be paired with your movies?
That's
Shark Tank. That's my idea. Okay, we can share it as Black and a Half, right? Let's do it. Let's start doing that. Let's start pairing.
You know, hey, old things actually, with, no, movies. Because they just have, remember TBS or TNT Dinner in a Movie?
I don't remember.
It used to be a show like they would make dinner throughout the movie. In the commercial breaks, you would see it, right?
That's making me hungry.
There's no reason why you couldn't do a show that's like a, where you pair up or you pick an ice cream for the movie.
Right.
And everyone tunes in, you talk about the ice cream, and then we watch the movie, and it comes back, and you, you're finishing because it took you an hour and a half. Right,
right, right. Because like, you have this magical frozen ice cream. I'll just cast like a Harry Potter spell on it.
Okay, quickly, favorite ice creams. Erica, do you eat ice cream?
I do.
Do you? Okay.
Sometimes.
Do you have a favorite?
It depends on the day. But, you know, anything with chocolate, caramel, or berries in it, occasionally all three, makes me happy.
So you go to Baskin-Robbins, there isn't like a, it could be anything. Any of those 31 flavors, you're like, today's a possibility.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so I want to see what's new. I want to taste something I haven't tasted before, usually.
Samantha?
Ooh, I would say my favorite ice cream, if we're talking Baskin and Robbins, it varies. You know what I mean? Like I'll have a certain period of time where it's like, I'm all about this and then all about that. And the last several times I've gone, the last several is in like the last couple of times in the last couple of months has been Jamocha almond fudge.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's been my go-to there.
And do you feel like you have to get it?
No, I actually, well, I tried a couple because I was like, you know, there was one like chocolate mousse one that was really good too. But no, there's lots of good ones. It's just, I don't have to get it.
Okay.
But yeah.
The reason when I go to Baskin Robbins, every time I'm like, I'm going to get something different. I'm not going to do the same old that I do. No. And then when they timely get to me, I go, scuba chocolate chip, scuba mint chip.
Oh, the mint chip, mint chocolate chip,
and scuba chocolate chip. Same every time. I end up doing. Wow. I will say once every 2 years, I finally like, I get it. Rocky Road, or something else I like,
Yum.
Or something. I try it, and then I'm like, should have got the mint chip. But why didn't I get the mint chip? I only did it because I wanted to be different. Man. I don't want to be the same all the time and be boring. But I liked it.
There's nothing wrong with
now
being
dependable.
Now I'm
just going to think about that
having
mint
a dependable
chip.
Palate.
I have that problem that I feel like I need to try something new.
Uh-huh.
And I do that a lot of places. But I think like Baskin Robbins, I don't go to a lot.
Oh man!
So
oh, you know where?
I'm going to admit, like if I know I'm going to go back next week, I think it'd be easier for me to try.
Mm-hmm.
Try a new flavor.
Yeah.
But I know I'm not going to be back. So for a while, or I tell myself that.
Or you tell yourself that.
Yeah.
It's important.
Then my daughter's like, we tied in soccer. That's worth something.
I could totally see her saying that.
We have this joke because Jubal had on his radio show once that they had a guy on. They had a guy on the, you know, one of those fake call-in shows where he was like, he told his kid they couldn't have ice cream because they lost their game that day. And he said, ice cream's for winners. You can't win. And so in Sierra, like when she would play the game, if they lost the game, I'd be like, I don't know, Sierra. We can get you ice cream today because you didn't win. Their team mostly won all the time, so it was kind of funny. But then I would get her frozen yogurt because they lost. But it was like, oh, Ice cream for Lynn. Come on, Dad.
Want some frozen. Yeah. I want some frozen yogurt. You're just making me hungry.
I have an
desserts.
The frozen yogurt places are different now. Menchie's.
Yeah.
Menchie's in Shoreline is now like a garbage place where they don't care about COVID, right? They don't do anything different. Like, there's no samples, but otherwise all the spoons are just where everyone can just grab a spoon. And I felt uncomfortable there. Everything was like, is normal. And, but my daughter told me the one up in Linwood is they hand you a spoon or they have it and everything's like, you can only get a scoop of each thing. Like, and they're pre-measured like little things that you can take and put on your, like the toppings. You don't just dig a spoon in with the other 20 people. So they're really like COVID conscious up there. And I don't understand. So it must be different franchise owners or something.
Oh, I'm sure. I just have to say, I would walk out of a Menchie's if there was ice cream within a 2 mile walk. Cause I'm just not a fan of the yogurt thing.
Mm. No,
no, make it full cream and all bad for you. And then there.
See, well, you know, one thing I really enjoy about yogurt though, is like, putting so many chocolate sprinkles on it. Like, I love froyo, but healthy? I also love it with the chocolate sprinkles. I never thought it was healthy. I was never getting it. Maybe I was at one point, but I don't think I was ever choosing it because it was a healthier choice. I think it's just like the texture is like nice, and it's just kind of nice to have something a bit different.
Yeah, I like being able to mix the flavors for one. And they also have like exotic. I don't know. It feels so exotic there. Like, oh, like, oh, what's going to be here today? I don't know. Oh,
yeah. What country is this ice cream from?
Pineapple sorbet. Ooh, they have like three different kinds of chocolates. Ooh, so fun.
I just realized that I often make myself a deconstructed Jimoka almond fudge when I do go to Menchie's. I often do like some like a bit of the chocolate, a bit of the coffee ice cream, a bit of like the peanut butter. Well, I mean, they don't have almond, but peanut butter ice cream.
Yeah. That's funny that you just make ice cream.
I just realized that. I'm like, oh, I often do that there too. What's?
Oh my goodness, Erica.
Yes, Silas.
Erica. By the way, Samantha. Erica's. This is her return. This is the return of Erica Klemecki.
Dun, 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 dun.
She was like in the top. Like, what, she was like my second guest or something. It was like definitely top five.
I was your second guest.
Was the second? Okay. The top downloaded podcast for like 5 years. Like, everyone.
Nobody knows why.
Everyone was like, you're famous. You're like famous in a sector of the world of, I don't know if it's. So you are you. Could you describe yourself as a known person in your community?
Oh, heck no.
No?
No.
Because your first book, your first book was the.
It depends on what community we're talking about here. Who are we talking about?
Well, your book was about the Himalayas and the monks, right?
About Nepal. Yeah.
Nepal.
So circles, I am known a little bit.
Okay. You're known in Nepal. I'm not known in Nepal.
Which is just the weirdest thing to me, but yeah.
Oh yeah, you're like, I'm Nepal from America, say, but they know
Erica?
Me.
And they're like, oh my god, Erica. Yeah.
it's happened.
Yeah, she always wants different ice cream.
Yeah, I was actually at a food truck. Met a friend at a bar across the street. Was a food truck that said Himalayan momos, which is little delicious dumplings. So I had to go over because it had Nepal on the side of it, Nepali dumplings or something like that.
Okay.
Said. So I had to go over and have some. And then I stuck my head in there and I was like, who's the Nepali? And he came out and talked to me. Super friendly guy. He's been in Seattle for a while, owns this food truck. And, you know, we only had to talk for about 5 minutes. And he's like, oh, I've heard of you. Yeah, yeah. I know all your people that you know. So in Nepal circles, apparently I'm heard of, but I don't know why.
what you did? I mean, do they have a lot of people that go there from
from the U.S., like travelers.
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's their main. That's their main industry, really, is tourism. So it's not like I'm the only person that ever came from America.
Yeah, but what did you do? So you did something there. Was it something? You must have done something to stand out.
Well, the first time I was there was a decade ago, and I was on a high profile tour with a bunch of famous Nepali musicians and a Sherpa climber who had just broken a world record and been placed in the Guinness Book of Records. So these people are all known in their own country.
Yeah.
And I went with them and I was their photojournalist. So at that time I knew nothing of Nepal and Nepal didn't know me, but I kind of got attached to the country once I was there for a month, and that made me write my first book. And so I went back a couple of years later, and I keep going back, and I am involved in the communities here, in the Nepali communities and the Sherpa communities. Yeah, it's just become part of my thing that I do. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Is it a common thing for people to sort of, from America, to sort of like adopt this, I don't know, another community in another country where they get super involved with like someone else, like, oh yeah, no, I love this community in Uzbekistan, and so I go back.
I think in traveling communities it probably happens quite a bit. Oh, my favorite place is this, or I'm going back to Thailand again and I'm staying with the same homestay I was at before. I don't think my story is unheard of. I've just gone to the trouble to write it down and capture it in photos. And, you know, some of the people that I met on my first trip are my very close friends, just simply because I went to the country.
Have you ever been criticized as a white lady?
Sorry, just that's the
like
end of the
doing
question.
This, like, well, I'm wondering if anyone's been upset about you feeling like you're making money or something off of this little country, this foreign country. Like, has that ever?
Actually, it's the opposite. The U.S. is seen as a very bright light to be followed if you're Nepali. It's where a lot of Nepali family members go for either temporary or permanent work. It's a great place to travel, visit, see. And of course they all have phones there, so they've seen what our culture throws up on the internet. And of course they'd like to see a piece of it usually. Yeah. They still want to come. Yeah.
They must see something different.
The podcast, Silas, the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Like I could go there and I could start a podcast.
We might become Goodwill ambassadors now, you know,
it's,
for Goodwill.
I mean, does that seem funny too, though? Like, I guess I'm surprised people still want to come here. like we can't be getting good press all over.
But yeah.
Despite all that,
you would think, but even the tarnish that we've received recently is relatively quickly overlooked when compared with other governments in developing countries.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's makes sense. Because I guess it's not like I'm like, oh, I really want to trade places with a lot of other countries.
There you go.
You know, despite everything, be like, maybe the UK a little bit, but then I have to get the food and that's it. What's Nepali's food like? You said the street truck, was that authentic?
Yeah, I was actually.
What is it? What is it there? What do you eat?
So there are 178 different cultures and languages in the country. So that you're asking a big question.
Well, hold on.
But in general,
in my Western Civ class that what made a country was a shared culture, and that's why U.S. was so unique. Is that because we shared many
because
cultures?
History class was always teaching correct information.
Right. No, I know. That's why I'm like, so I need to get to the truth. Yeah. Wait, how do they all survive together? Like, how do they not fight?
It's amazing how tolerant they people who don't live in this country are.
They just let them believe other things.
So yeah, it's a new thought. I know it's crazy, but yeah, people are actually more focused on being a commune with to be able to commune with each other rather than separate themselves from each other, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's a totally, now ask me why I like to go there, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's just what I was thinking. I guess I'm not having read your book. I wanted to find out what it was about.
I would think food. Samantha has a good question, but
okay.
But the food. But I would think the food would have a sort of, this is all we have in this country, like as far as food. Because I know not everyone's as big as the U.S. makes sense to have tons of food because we're gigantic. But I would think there would be just a limitation of what's local that would help create that.
But go to Mexico. What's Mexican food like? What's authentic Mexican food like?
You can get a lot of
different things.
You can a burrito supreme.
No, not Taco Bell. You
get like grilled cactus.
I mean, I don't honestly. I'm like, I've heard, oh, there's northern Mexico and southern Mexico, like different cuisines, but I don't really know. I went to a white resort. Okay, I went to a resort where they just fed me buffets, and I don't know where it was from. But
okay, now I'll give you the simple answer to your food question. The staple food in Nepal is lentils and rice with curry spice.
Healthy.
God,
beans and rice.
I could never go.
Do you hate lentils?
I hate lentils so much. Like caveat. I've only eaten them from my mother.
How were they prepared though?
I don't,
because they're so awful. It's so different how they're prepared. Like I had I want lentil soup now. Like my mom made this really great lentil soup, but one time I had a lentil like chorizo, like I think it might have been from Trader Joe's. I don't know, and it was like. I love Trader Joe's, but like there was this one lentil dish there and I had it one time and it was fine, but I had it another time and it made me sick. So like just hearing lentil and that, I'm like, ugh. But then lentil, like I've had lentils over rice with like a curry that was really good too. So I feel like the way that it's made makes such a huge difference.
If you say the word lentil, you might as well say the word grapefruit.
Grapefruit is delicious.
Grapefruit is the most disgusting thing.
Give them to me then.
Ever. Been called a fruit.
It is not the most disgusting.
It should not, like the fact that it's even called a fruit is obscene.
Silas, do you have a limited palate?
No, I eat a lot. Do I look like I have a limited palate?
You can't tell by the size of somebody. You could eat the same thing all of the time. You've already told us you have your favorite staples.
No, grapefruit and lentils, I shiver at. Like, I'm like, but I'm actually open to the idea that lentils, I'm now real. As you said, I was like, oh, maybe I've just never had lentils by someone who could cook.
Well, let's not call your mom a bad cook. That's not nice. But I would say you should try it again somewhere else. Go into a really good vegan restaurant and ask for the curried lentil soup, and I bet you would be impressed. I mean, if you like curry.
I like a curry. I'm okay. I never had a curry until 1999, 2000 maybe 2000. I never had curry. So it's not on my palate to like think about, but I like it when I've had it. Indian food in general, I'm always like, when someone suggests it, it's like a brilliant idea. I would never have thought of that. Indian? Yeah. Let's do that. Because my wife is allergic to most Indian. She's allergic to ginger.
Right.
That's most of it. And then coconut.
That's hard.
So.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not coming up in my household. So it's always like a brilliant idea of like, oh, Indian. Yeah, sure. So.
Wow. So a lot of Nepali food is very similar to Northern Indian food. Yeah, it's spicy. It uses a lot of tropical vegetables because Kathmandu is in the tropics. And yeah, they're.
But you can't poorly cook a grapefruit. That's just pure taste. So there's no, I can't blame that on anybody.
Well, you could prepare the wretchedness. But no, you just don't like grapefruit. But sure, you can have it, not just like right out of the thing.
Oh, should I eat it with a spoon or?
Yes, I love eating grapefruit with a spoon.
Okay.
I'm not going to convince you to like grapefruit. No, that just means there's more for me.
Samantha.
Yeah, I know. I shouldn't convince him either.
You had a wonderful question about traveling. Thank you. What was that?
Well, it was just as someone who has not read your book and isn't familiar with your story, I was just curious what it was about the country that had such a pull for you. You know, like why you love it so much, why that was the place that.
Good question. It's a long answer. So I have been an outdoors person for a long time. The reason I went the first time was because I was interviewing a local Sherpa mountaineer after he made his fastest ascent of the seven summits. So he was the quickest to climb the highest mountain on each of the seven continents. And that was his record that he broke. So anyway, he was going back to Nepal to raise awareness of climate change, global warming, and the melting of Everest glaciers, because Everest is on the north border of Nepal. And as the glaciers melt, they will wash away those villages. So he wanted to bring awareness to the country and help his country out by raising money by doing these concerts. So he gathered a bunch of famous Nepali musicians. And that's the story of my first book that I wrote.
Oh, wow.
Okay. When I went, I truly knew nothing about the country. I had just interviewed this guy and he was really captivating to me. He's since become like a brother to me. And I sit on the board of his nonprofit and we go out to lunch and he asked me marketing questions, you know, the whole gambit basically. And so what's compelling about the country is I got to know, I thought I was going for the mountains. The mighty Himalayas are there, the highest peaks in the world. And it turns out that the people were an even larger draw.
Hmm. Well, you know, hearing you say too, that like how much they care about community is obviously seems quite rare in our part of the world. And just like as a side note, that's something that I feel like I've really been missing so much is like community. And I think I saw someplace, I don't know, one of my actor groups I'm in or something, they were talking about like community over competition. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, yeah, that's huge. It's so important. And like the shift of the sort of general American mindset of like, get to the top, get to the top, get to the top, take out the competition. And just how much happier we would be if we all focused more on like building that community.
Yes.
You know? So just hearing you say that, I'm like, oh, yeah, I could see the pull.
It's so refreshing to go there and just see. Actually, that's why any travel is valuable, right? Americans should be. I was just saying this to my friend the other day. Americans should be required to travel out of this country before they can vote. I think that you learn so much if you go abroad and learn how other people live, how other people treat their families, how they treat strangers. I think just we would just have a far more amiable life, you know.
Yeah. If we have, if we have the opportunity, the ability.
Right. I mean, that's the hard part, right? Well, that's part of the problem. A lot of people don't want to leave their front yard. Right.
Or can't.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You
know, like, yeah. Well, okay. So just to jump in here, like how other people, you're saying some people in other countries are all using Nepal, right? Since we're, how they treat strangers and how they treat their families. Like what are some of those differences? Like, I know I can say, you know, we can say community, but like, what are some actual, you know, examples of differences that you may have seen in behaviors?
Okay, I'm going to generalize here because it's it's easiest to take shortcuts like this. But in general, when I sit down and talk with any of my Nepali friends, they are completely present. They're there with you. They never let you go hungry. They want to put food in you at every moment. They want to make sure you're comfortable. They want to make sure you are happy at every moment that you're with them, because they feel that's their obligation as part of their community, is to make you a comfortable in your, make you comfortable in your place while you're with them. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say, I think a lot of that is just me being a tourist in their country, and they treat all the tourists that way, and they do, but they also treat each other that way, and by and large. So, it's just it's pleasant.
Yeah.
What should I not do if I'm in Nepal?
I like that. Present is pleasant, as I cut you off.
There you go.
You know, like, present is pleasant. Yeah.
Is there something I could do? What would I do that's offensive in Nepal?
If you go to Nepal, what's offensive?
Like, that I might do if I'm not told, don't do this here. Is there anything like American custom?
I don't know. What's something that would offend you if someone came to America? I need a reference point.
Oh. Like, well, if they kneel during the national anthem.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what I was thinking? Just because you're saying about them being present, I feel like if you're having a conversation with them, but like looking on social media while you're doing that would probably be offensive. That's my guess.
Yeah.
And I'm texting right now.
Not that that doesn't happen. No, that actually wouldn't offend them.
It wouldn't. Okay.
That's a good guess. But actually, yeah. they're. I don't know how you guys are brought up when you had to, you know, sit still in church or sit still in school classrooms, whatever it was. I was always strictly taught, you sit down, you shut up, you be the child the way you're supposed to be the child, and let the adults do the thing that they're supposed to do. And that was drilled into me really hard. So whenever I see other people not doing that, it's taken me a long time to get over my frustration for other people not complying the same way I was taught to comply. Mm-hmm. But the Nepali culture is not like that at all. There can be one person speaking at the front of a room of 300, and somebody will be on their phone in the back, and somebody else will be talking to their friend, and somebody else will be walking in and out of the room. It's not as formal as what I was brought up with in my community growing up. So I both learn from that and appreciate that my history is much more rigid than what most other people are accustomed to, probably. Hmm. I don't know. I can't think of it. What would offend them? What would offend them if you were hungry and they offered you food and you kept saying no? It would offend them if...
Ooh, like in Temple of Doom.
Okay, fine.
There's a scene in there when she's like, no, thank you, I didn't know. He's like, they're starving. This is more than they eat in a day.
You're
offending them and you're embarrassing me.
Yeah, they did a good job with that character, actually, in that film. She was very detestable.
Yeah. Yes, she was. Okay, your second book, though.
Yes.
Why? What's the second book? What's your, I don't know, what do they call it in publishing? Is it what your...
It's not a sequel.
Your pitch? No, what's your...
What's it about?
Like, is it? It's not a sequel. So, what's the second book?
It is the next. It's 8 years of the rest of the stuff that I do and have done, and why I keep going to Nepal. So it answers the question: great, you went to Nepal once. Why isn't it out of your system yet? Why did you go back again and again? And why every time I see you, do you keep talking about Nepal? So it answers that question. What do you do when you're there? I go without my family.
That's reason enough to go.
But yeah, I just up and take off. And a lot of people who see it from afar think that I'm just this crazy person that runs across the country across the world to another country for a month they don't understand it. They don't understand how I could possibly be thrilled by that. But there's so much. There's travel. There's politics. There's culture. Even the religious aspects of the culture. There's both Buddhism and Hinduism in the country. And I've spent a lot of time just understanding and getting comfortable with the philosophies of both. And Learned a lot from just even stuff like that, but also the food. I love learning about the food. And then there's the initial reason that I went, which is the Himalayas. And I'm the managing director for a mountain guiding company. So mountains and outdoors have always been a thing for me, and I've always wanted to see the Himalayas. And so I went and I saw it, and I can always go back. You can't lay eyes on the tallest mountains in the world once and then go, okay, that was good. I don't need to go there again, because especially as a mountain photographer and outdoor person, they each have personalities. You know, they're very much like people. They look different in different light at different seasons, different times of the year. And it's just cool to get up in different areas and see them from different angles and things like that. Pretty fascinating place.
How much sea salt do you bring back?
In my hair? What do you mean, sea salt? There's no sea there. So you mean like Himalayan salt?
Himalayan salt.
Himalayan salt.
Is that the Himalayan sea salt? I thought it was Himalayan
not, sea salt. No, it's not. Well, it was sea salt 100 million years ago.
Oh, well, still. Himalayan salt is a big, yeah, it's big business.
It's dug out of the mountains.
Right. So do you bring back like a chunk in your travel bag? Or
I've brought some back before.
And you just lick like a salt lick for the rest of the year?
Yeah, it's delicious. No, it's you just buy it closer to the source and get to carry it home yourself. And
is there
it tastes like the stuff you buy here.
Are there restrictions? Like you can only bring so much salt back?
50-pound bag.
50 pounds?
Well, your luggage, you know.
Oh. I don't know. That's what I know mostly about the Himalayans now is that they have Himalayan apparently salt. Great sea salt or salt. I'm just going to keep saying sea salt.
That's okay.
But it's pink.
It's good. It's good for you. It's got lots of minerals and goodies in it for you. And people tell you it will heal all sorts of things.
It's literally like the only place I know salt comes from. Like you can't, I don't know where else people get salt.
Well, the sea, you
say sea, but how, I don't know how you get it out of the sea.
You evaporate it out of water.
Is that what you do?
Yeah. We actually saw people doing it in Bali.
What about non-sea salt? Where does that come from?
Mined out of rocks.
Iodized? Is it from the land of iodized? The course?
You're talking about stuff I know not a lot about.
I get the Jewish kind, the Orthodox, kosher. I have kosher salt. I don't know where it comes from. I just know it's the best one to cook with.
Kosher salt is.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
Because it's subtler. So it's harder to oversalt your food with it. Okay. So they recommend using that. But I don't know where it comes from. I don't know, just other than the blue box. If everything's shut down, apocalypse happened, right? I don't know where I go to get salt. And I totally understand why there were wars over spices. Because I don't know where to go get them.
You're killing me.
Huh?
It's like 59 cents for a pound of salt at your regular grocery store.
Yeah, but if everything shuts down, I don't know where to go get salt. I wouldn't know how to make salt.
Well, we live near the ocean, so you dip a wood board in the water and
sea salt is just for finishing, Erica, not for yeah,
if there's an
cooking.
Apocalypse and you don't know, you still have to get the best salt because the world could be ending, but you're still going to be like, look, I can't have that.
Just
I need
because
to go,
the world's like, ending doesn't no, mean you have to have like eat like a marauder. If I just want some pasta with some salt.
You know what's great is that earlier in the episode, you were saying how look at your body isn't the type to say no to food. You're not like, but now you're like, but salt. Whoa. Oh no.
Clearly.
I have a refined palate. Thank you very much. It must be the right salt, even if it's the apocalypse. I will not stand it. I will not stand for it. It's not be up to my standards.
That's true. It's damn true. So, Erica, we've had a change on this program since you were on last.
I'm sure.
A few changes. We've been very different.
It was a decade ago, Silas. I'm impressed that you've been on the air for a decade.
I know. It's, you know, and one day, you know, we, just, as long as I keep doing one a month, it's the longest running, right? Yeah. So you should have a lot more episodes for 10 years. But now, when someone comes on the show for the first time, usually we ask them, there's 7 questions that we ask them. So it's not your first time, but we've never had these questions answered.
Bring
so
it.
So we're going to have to bring you. So these are the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions. We're not recording the video. Okay. but okay. 7 questions. So just the first thing that comes to your mind, not those, these aren't. Number 1, what are you most nerdy about?
I'm not as nerdy about Star Wars as you are, but I was a Dungeons and Dragons DM for quite a bit of my life. So probably a good place to start. And I still play on occasion with my kids.
Awesome. I had no idea. Okay. Ooh, see ya. Number 2, what's something that you love to eat?
Well, ice cream, since you brought that up. I had butter chicken for dinner. That was one of my favorite dishes. What I like to eat is something different every day. It's easier to tell you what I don't like. Can I do that? That'll freak people out.
I want to know what you love.
What you don't like was going to be
I'm not a fan of pizza. No, I'm not a fan of pizza. I don't like pizza. Yeah. I know Silas's mouth is hanging open. You what?
I don't understand that.
And you've tried all the different types of pizzas.
Yeah, I mean,
just like, eh.
Yeah, bread and little red sauce and cheese.
Bread and cheese. Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I'm also not a fan of like bread, especially, you know, Italian breads is really crusty, delicious sourdough. No, I don't even never need to see those again. But I love a good curry, and I love really fresh vegetables right out of the garden, and a really nice glazed duck breast, and I love lamb. I can go on and on about the things that I like.
I did not mean to cut you off. It's just I'm looking over at Sauce's expression, and the more you're talking about how you hate you don't like pizza or the Italian bread, and you love fresh vegetables and stuff, and he just looks like he's about to be ill.
I love fresh vegetables. I'm just like,
I know, but there's a look on your face.
I was like thinking like, oh sorry, my Erica. God, if I didn't like bread, that would probably be the best thing for me. I wish I could hate bread.
Indifference would be better.
I have a really, really bad sweet tooth, but I don't need potato chips or French fries either.
But you'll eat them.
Depends on how hungry I am. But yeah, I will always go for the chocolate. I'm starving. It's lunchtime. Give me a piece of chocolate instead of the French fries. Isn't that weird? That's weird.
Well, chocolate, you know, so pretty good. I only was saying that, Silas, indifference, because like the opposite of love, not hate. That was the reason why I said I saw your face.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm like, no, hate it.
But I could see if you hate it, you'd run away from it, and that could be useful.
Okay, number 3. What's something that you love to drink?
Boy, this is going to be boring. My favorite drink when I go to a bar is a rum punch, but nobody in the United States knows how to make them.
What is a rum punch?
Yeah, it's kind of close to a Mai Tai, but with a little less alcohol in it. Hmm. It's rum and usually like mango and orange juice or pineapple and guava juice with a sprinkle of nutmeg on top. Okay, so that's one of my favorite alcoholic beverages. And then I'm a fan of sparkling water. And if milkshakes count, those are a favorite too. Okay.
What kind of music do you love?
Melodic rock.
Okay.
Goo Goo Dolls, Foo Fighters. that kind of thing. Melodic. And my husband's band. My husband, yeah. I got to say, my husband's favorite. Say. My favorite band. Yeah.
I was like, does he do melodic rock? Is that what he?
He does. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got a new album out the same month I have this book out. So we've been productive during the COVID months.
Yeah. Damn. What do you love to create?
Art. Any kind of art. It depends on the day which one I'll pick. But right now I'm making a dragon sculpture out of copper in my backyard.
Ooh, that's cool.
Sweet.
Out of copper in your backyard?
Yeah, it's going to be like a garden sculpture. It's about 8 feet long. Whoa. And it's all out of copper.
Well, you just have copper hanging out in your backyard?
So it was left over from a construction site. It's not enough. Anybody's going to want to steal it. I need to say that.
Wait, are these from catalytic converters that you've been finding? I found outside. I don't know.
From what I hear, those are platinum anyway, aren't they?
Oh, are they? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. No, this is leftover copper from like old pipes I've had yanked out of my house and stuff like that.
Oh, that's cool. And turning those into art. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks.
What's a game you love to play?
Euchre. My family of four plays Euchre. If you don't know it, you're not from Michigan.
Euchre. What is, could you describe it?
it's a suits game, kind of like spades or hearts, but it's got a bunch of weird rules and only uses half the deck.
Oh, so it's a card game.
Yeah.
So anyone can play it. Okay. 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 Hmm. Okay. And last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be remembered as a good person who contributed to the world. Not any specific thing.
That's fair.
It's fair. It's broad, but it's good. Just, you know, as long as they're not like, oh yeah, that crazy lady who kept going to Nepal, that would burn me.
But you don't want to be remembered for that, for the Nepal, like,
oh, that's Nepal fine.
Awareness? Yeah. I don't know.
Just not probably being called a crazy lady.
Yeah, that crazy lady that. Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, Erica Klemecki, thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Your book, name of your book again for us.
One World Lens.
One World Lens, available, I assume, at the Normal.
No, unfortunately, I self-published it, so it is only available on my website, and I'm happy to pass that forward to you.
Yeah. What is it?
It is frommyart.com.
Frommyart.com. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So go out there, pick up the book, folks. Pick it up. It's an exclusive.
And I'll ship it to you myself.
It's exclusive. Yeah, I'll be touched by her hands.
It is.
Like, oh, it there is. It is.
Thank you.
Hopefully, maybe you'll get a book tour coming up. Who knows?
Yeah, we're gonna wait for things to open a little more fully yet. But yeah, I got some local bookstores and things like that. It'll be fun.
Okay. Cool. All right. We'll watch out for those, and we'll share them with the Block and a Half family.
I appreciate it as
an extended member. of this. Yeah. All right.
Thanks. I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Black and a Half.